If everybody's in here, we can probably get started. As you probably gathered from the thread, we have absolutely no content for you here today. This is just kind of an informal Q&A session or shitposting session or whatever anybody really wants it to be. So, you can... You can pretty much, anybody who has any questions or anything they want to talk about, anything regarding the issues that have been going on with the site lately. I know there's been some complaints and various things going on in QA regarding staff transparency and the rules and all that. So if anybody has anything they want to talk about, they can bring it up in voice chat or... They can post it in the T-Talk channel. And yeah, we can pretty much go ahead. And I guess if nobody talks, we can sit here and listen to music. Yep. Say what? Guess so. Alrighty. Music and watching sticks create a character with a pair of crocusins.
This is choosing which village to go to.
Hey, Styx, what is the title of this game we're watching, by the way?
Caves of Kud.
Caves of what?
96, that's a real number. It's hard to pronounce Kud, I believe it's called.
Okay. Looks kind of interesting. I didn't realize it was going to actually let you have a horse character. So, enjoy. Don't be afraid
to dig into your synthesizer a little bit. Oh, I just made that up. I just swapped out the sprite for
Oh, I see. But, I mean, it had, like, left foreleg and left hind leg and all that on the...
Yeah. Well, I just went into the game. The game already has kind of creatures like horses in it. I just copied the script from those creatures and put that into a character.
Okay. Yeah, this looks kind of interesting. I like these RPG, whatever, old kinds of things.
I've certainly spent enough time in my dark padded room here pouring over blue coins.
So I'm just going to go around and collect a couple of quests.
Alrighty.
A little longer than a few minutes later.
A shame, but I have bled to death. I technically won that fight.
Are you able to start again, or is that it for your guy?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't make a save. In order to save, you have to actually quit the game, because it runs kind of like a roguelike.
Oh, I see.
Could Alt-F4 to basically pull up the last save, but I didn't ever make a save like that. So there's also another power in the game that lets you quick save, but you have to actually get that power. It's called... what was it? Precognition. And it just explains that you can see into the future a couple of turns ahead and you can rewind to that save.
I see.
I can play the same build as last time. Hi.
This music is very aggressive.
It is. It's a very, very frightening music.
It kind of fits the mood of the game, though.
It does. I forget what I queued up exactly, but I think there's some... This is like some kind of pagan something or other music.
Hello.
Hello.
Got back from the two gun shows less than an hour ago, and at the one in town, well, so about a month ago, there was this guy who had a pair of M1 carbines, and then ended up picking up one of them, National Postal Meter, 1943. For those of you who don't know, the M1 carbine was contracted out to a bunch of different manufacturers. National Postal Meter is, well, it's a company that makes postal meters, of all things. They made something like 8 to 13% of the total. And then there were various other companies that made them, even a jukebox manufacturer made some of them. Anyways, I got one of those a month ago, and then I went back today, and I was looking at a P-38, Walther P-38 Mauser, but that was just a little bit too pricey, and the guy was going to make me pay state sales tax on it, and I just thought, nah, I can probably get it for cheaper off a gun broker. But I went back by a table, and the people who sold me the M1 carbine a month ago had another carbine there. They had actually had that one on a table a month ago, but that one's from Inland. Now, Inland actually is by far the most common of the manufactured M1 carbines. They made something like 6 million M1 carbines during the war, but this one was late 1944, early 1945. Inland is a division of General Motors, ended up getting that. And then at a completely different gun show, there was a whole rack of Mosin Nagants. Now, I have one Mosin, or had one Mosin Nagant, which was a 1917 Remington of the older 1891 version, which I know most of you have probably seen Mosins, but what makes the 1891 a little bit different is that the Mosins you're familiar with are the 9130s. It's a Dragoon model. It's slightly shorter. It's closer to the universal short rifle concept. But the 1891 version, well, this was a 1917 one made in the United States on contract because Russia couldn't make all the guns that it needed to, made by Remington. And then stamped with the Tsarist Eagle, probably served in the Russian Revolution, maybe World War I, and then was sent as Lend-Lease to Spain during the Spanish War and was captured by the fascists. It was sent to the Republicans. It was captured by the fascists. I had that one, but the bolt on it, which doesn't match the original, is just terrible. So that's one more reason to get a new one. So there was this whole rack of Mosin 9130s at the second gun show at pretty reasonable prices, you know, like around $375 for some of them. But he also had one that was formerly a sniper rifle that doesn't even have the year on the end. And I saw that one, and I thought, yeah, I want to get that one because it has little holes in it where they would, or little dimples on the inside of the bolt, inside of the receiver, where you'd attach a scope. Like I said, it's missing a year. Like the last digit on the year is literally just missing. It's 193, not 1939 or something. But I also wanted a regular one in case I wanted to, you know, shoot one of them or something, and both of them had much smoother actions than that Remington I had, so I ended up making a deal to get both of them for less money. And so, yeah, that's what I came away with. Now, there was this Yugoslav Mauser, looks like a Yugoslav carbine, doesn't have the crest on it, but there was this Yugoslav Mauser that I negotiated $350 on, but by that point, I just run out of money. So, anyways, that's the three guns from today.
Very cool.
Nice. Interesting stuff. As you can all probably tell, we did not have anything planned for this today, and we just pretty much threw this together at the last possible second after talking about doing it for weeks. So, hopefully the next time we attempt this, we'll have something, some kind of interesting content or something.
Elway questioning the logistics of 6 million M1 carbines. Took the combined manufacturing capacities of America's automobile industry, something like 600,000 from GM, 300,000 from, well, way more than 600,000, several million from GM. IBM made them. Like I said, Ricola jukebox manufacturers, National Postal Meter, Winchester actually made fewer of them than General Motors did, strangely enough, but they did make a large number of them.
A lot of chimneys.
Indeed, a lot of chimneys. Actually, I have a question for Elway.
Yes, go ahead.
Project Horizons, when?
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ, no.
But Fallout Equestria is so much fun.
Yeah, it is, but it's also driving me almost completely insane.
Well, yeah, but at least it's a burden that falls only on you.
Yeah, no, that's true. Honestly, I wouldn't necessarily be averse to doing it, but I mean, just considering, I think... Hold on, when did the first... Oh, yeah, incidentally, this was kind of sort of a secret, I guess, but it seems to be kind of out of the bag now. I'm the guy doing the Glim Glam literary review thread, but
oh damn, are we gonna have to go scrub that?
Don't worry about it. I honestly figured somebody would figure it out sooner or later. I haven't really been trying to hold it. Right.
Fallout Equestria has somehow been amazingly terrible and even a little bit repetitive, and yet so much fun to go through.
Yeah, no, I actually do enjoy going through these horrendous fan fictions and just shitting all over them. But just in terms of the time investment, when let me actually see if I can find out when the first. I've been doing it since at least October, so I mean that's a while, and there's some other things on the list that we have to get through. But anyways, Project Horizons might be doable at some point, but I don't know if I could segue directly into it from from Fallout Equestria. I gotta have some kind of a palate cleanser.
Okay, how about... All right, what other fan fictions can we focus on? You haven't done Cupcakes, have you?
No, I haven't. I've always been mildly curious about that one.
It's
actually,
very
for the
short... What?
Huh? Oh, go ahead.
It's very short. Like, you could easily cover it and... Well, I mean, obviously you could read it in one sitting. But, yeah, you could cover that really quickly. I personally didn't mind it. I thought it was effective at what it did or what it was trying. And it... How... The interpretations of the same...
You're actually kind of breaking up there, Lotus. I didn't quite catch all that.
Dead. I'm going to say, yeah, it's very short. I didn't terribly mind it myself. I thought it was fairly effective at what it was trying to do. And it's also more, how do I say this, show accurate or show-like presentation of Pinkie Pie than what you see in people trying to do similar things in later years.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly willing to check it out. I feel like it's probably worth going through all the classics of the classics of the fandom. I actually found a list on MLP from the I think it was from the Film Fiction thread of just the recommended their whatever recommended reading list. So I was thinking
really?
About going through. Yeah, I got it saved somewhere. I'd have to dig it up, but. It might be worth going through there. I think all of the ones that we've done so far have been on there. So,
the Son
Rainbow,
of the Rose
Rainbow
is on
Factory
there?
Is.
Oh,
oh
God,
Son
that
of the Rose
one.
Is not on there. Son of the Rose is not on there. But
so that I want to
say that's where I found Hard Reset. Like I said in the thread, I remember nothing about it.
I want to
Hard Reset again. Oh wait, yeah, that was one that was put on the recommendation list. That's right. Yeah, actually, the next one we were going to do, or the next one I had planned to do, just as a cleanser in between Fallout Equestria, was actually I think somebody in one of the movie night discussions recommended The Best Night Ever, which is supposed to be like a Groundhog Day thing about the what's it called? The Grand Galloping Gala from the first season. Prince Blueblood, I guess, wakes up over and over and lives the same night. It sounded kind of fun, so I was going to do that one next. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
Oh, also, I suppose Pupper's suggestion of doing erotica, those could be kind of fun, too.
I think that's mostly just going to be you saying, why are you attempting to do tactile sensations in a visual or text format?
Right. Well, honestly, reading badly written porn is usually pretty funny. But
that's true. Yeah, I was thinking about Rainbow Factory, because Rainbow Factory is one that I read 7-8 years ago, whatever, and I was genuinely pissed off by it, or did not like it, unlike Cupcakes.
It seems to be kind of divisive. The only familiarity I have with it is, like, way back in the original April 2017, I remember somebody posted a link to that Rainbow Dash Presents
okay,
YouTube
so,
series.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm familiar with the parody of it, but I don't know the original. So
here's the thing. This is actually a problem I had with the Would It Matter If I Were? Excuse me. Would It Matter If I Was? Where just about everything that was wrong with that fan fiction was fixed in the parody of it. Would It Matter If I Is, or whatever it was called. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, no, I remember.
Like someone made a parody, and, like, every little detail that was wrong in the original is fixed in the parody. I'm still kind of pissed off that they call it "Would it matter if I was?" Whenever if it's a hypothetical, that should be a were, but whatever. Yeah. I can't even get the fucking title right.
There's honestly, I've really come not to expect much from a lot of fan fiction writers with grammar. Son in a Row is really that one drove me insane. Soft fur slick with love. What is that one? A cult facade. Just posted that.
The Son in the Rose wasn't as entertaining for me. Like, the premise isn't as intrinsically fascinating as Friendship is Optimal, and then it's too well written to be like Fallout Equestria.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Actually, it sounded like Nigel was having the same problem, because I remember throughout that one he was kind of impatient to get to Fallout Equestria. I actually thought it... I guess my evaluation of Sun and the Rose is just... so I guess... Oh, sorry. Oh, hold on. I'm reading text. So I take it that Soft Fur, Slick with Love is not an actual fan fiction, and I shouldn't look for it. Occult. Anyways, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Sun and the Rose. Sun and the Rose, I thought, had the most potential to be something actually good. I mean, there was still a really long distance between that story and actually being something good, but I mean, I think of the things we read, it had the most potential. Friendship is Optimal. The concept was interesting, but I mean, like
literally nothing
else. Yeah, I mean, literally nothing else. I mean, it was an absolutely horrendously executed thing, and really the concept, though interesting, was not even remotely original. I mean, the whole what if a super intelligent computer took over the world thing is probably the oldest sci-fi trope, you know, in the book.
Since Rossum's Universal Robotics back in 1920.
Yeah, pretty much, and fucking...
Minus the allegory of the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah, and it's like pretty much the only thing that, what's his name, the guy who wrote it, added to it was just that there's kind of sort of a pony element to it. And honestly, even that, not so much. So, Tawaki, you can chug whatever the hell you want. You are, it's a party.
But Fallout Equestria has actually turned out to be much worse than I was expecting it would be.
Yeah, actually, I remembered hearing something about it that it had been like published professionally printed, and I thought I remembered hearing that KCAD actually had hired a professional editor to go through it, and you know, so I was kind of expecting something a little more. I mean, I wasn't expecting much, but I was expecting something at least kind of no... oh, Tie Wake, sorry. But yeah, I was kind of expecting something at least kind of quasi-professional about it. So. But I would say no. Honestly, if he did hire a writer or an editor for that, I seriously pity the guy.
Yeah. Has to read through all of that. It's like, how many pages is it even?
Pages, I don't know, but I mean, it's the actual word count is like 620,000 some odd words, and I mean, that's actually longer than War and Peace, and I think the only other thing I have on my bookshelf that's that fucking long is Infinite Jest. David.
Oh, I didn't know that was that long.
Yeah,
I thought you were gonna say Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire or something.
Oh well, yeah, that actually I think it's
I only have the abridged version of Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, but what's the original?
On audio, it's like 127 hours.
That's a while.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess this, published between 1776 and 1781, the six volumes contain 1.5 million words.
So that's probably, so...
That's like Project Horizon's length.
Yeah, that's Project Horizon's. I'm pretty sure I heard that one being over a million and a half words.
Yeah. Like, I always wanted to dislike Fallout Equestria. Probably because I just didn't like that they... the forced progressive virtue signaling in the lesbian protagonist. But I had no idea it did so many things wrong.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that the virtue signaling is a little more subdued than I was expecting it to be. I mean, it could just be the fact that it was written a decade ago and...
Yeah,
has accelerated since then. I'm guessing if the same guy wrote it now, he'd probably fill it with a lot more of that kind of stuff. But
it's going to be an orange pony as the villain,
right? But yeah, I mean, it's really just very, very badly done. And what annoys me the most. Is that something in the background?
Right? In the background. Background noise.
Gotcha.
What annoyed me the most... Those were your last words. Say?
I'm sorry, what now?
Now I'm genuinely curious what you're going to say.
Huh? No, I actually thought you had said something, so I was waiting.
No. You said what annoyed me the most.
Oh, no, what annoyed me the most about, or I think what's annoying me the most is that the flashback scenes, the memory scenes where he goes back into the past and lays out, they actually, I mean, they're not perfect, but they're substantially better written than the main story. And I think it's because he has to like condense everything into a single scene, and he has to like, you know, convey a certain amount of information in a certain amount of time. So he's kind of forced to write proper scenes, and it's like when he's got that kind of a constraint, then he actually does a reasonably good job with it. I mean, like I said, it's not perfect, but it's the quality is noticeably higher than anything in the main story. And I think that the main story, he's just, you know, it just reads like a walkthrough of a video game or something. And he can just, I mean, he just meanders endlessly. This stupid little annoying protagonist just wanders around going from quest to quest, and every single quest she gets diverted onto a side quest. And it's like, I mean, there's that stupid thing with that bomb in, what's it fucking called, Ten Pony Tower. I mean, this is like the place where her, you know, whatever her lesbian dyke love of her life, whatever the fuck, is in there, and she's so worried about her, and oh my god, there's a balefire bomb hidden in this building, and it's like, what are you doing about that? You know, like, you're off wandering around, you've got these two other things you're supposed to be doing, you've not done any of this stuff, all this happened like 5-6 chapters ago, you know, and you're over here helping these whatever villagers, and then they turn out to be cannibals, and then you get mad for not helping them, so you slaughter all them, and then you go out wandering around, and then now she's helping these zebras or something, and then she gets distracted from that, and now she's looting some safe or something and reading this diary, and it just goes on fucking forever, and there's just no point to like 90% of it. So yeah, that's pretty much my rant about where Fallout Equestria is currently at.
I'm surprised mostly by how Mary Sue the protagonist is.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, I have a tendency to kind of toss the phrase Mary Sue around a lot. Like, I think I called, what's her name, Nyx, that a few times. And looking back, it may not have necessarily applied. I mean, there were plenty of reasons why that was a bad character, but she wasn't necessarily Mary Sue-ish. But yeah, I mean, little Pip, very, very, very much is a Mary Sue character.
It almost perfectly fits the definition.
Yeah, like, I honestly, because, I mean, the original Mary Sue thing came from a Star Trek fan fiction, and the person who wrote it was actually, it was like intentional satire. Like, she created this Mary Sue character to kind of make fun of, I guess, teenage girls that would write into this Star Trek magazine with these types of fan fiction. She was intentionally making fun of it, and it's like, they ought to just change it to Little Pip, because, you know, this is, like, a character that is not only worse, but, like, the guy wrote it without any kind of satire at all.
It seems unnecessary, like, so unnecessary, because it's this whole group of OCs. Like, you can give some of your other OCs love. You know,
yeah.
Make your main character into a black hole that absorbs everything and is a gravitational center of everything.
Yeah, I mean,
why?
That's the other thing that kind of annoyed me, is it's like, it's supposed to be this, I mean, even if he just wants to imitate a video game, I mean, it's like, this isn't even a good game. I mean, it's not even a good playthrough of a bad game. It's like, this guy is just, he's one of these guys, he just amps up his main character to the point where this one character is just ridiculously overpowered, and then he just ignores all these other characters.
Minute. There's no point.
Yeah.
I'm still going to rate this the most fun one that's been reviewed. I probably put Friendship.
Sorry, you're kind of cutting out again. You might have to repeat.
I'd still put this one. Probably Friends off to number two.
Sorry, you still cut out. You said this one is your top one, and Friendship is Optimal is number two?
This is number one.
This is number one?
Well, it's most fun to go through. Obviously, it's not the...
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's definitely a hoot. I mean, I think up until this point, I think what's it called? Past Sins was probably the worst one I'd read. But I mean, by comparison, this one is substantially worse. I mean, it's I'm honestly even starting to forget why Past Sins made me so mad. This one is just making me considerably angrier.
So the ponies who live in Zebra Town, is there a logical reason why they live there?
I am actually still trying to figure out what the hell the deal with Zebra Town is.
Well, I mean, half of it's easy to buy the zebras in there. Luna went all FDR and Korematsu.
Oh, you're talking about the flashback of the old version of Zebra Town. That one I'm not... That's another problem that this author has, is he kind of comes up with ideas that could be interesting, but he just kind of half-bakes them. Like, did you ever... I don't know if you ever watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but...
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that one where, like, the aliens try to make a copy of Master Shake, but they don't leave it in the oven long enough, and it comes out, it's all lumpy and misshapen and just sort of barely looks like him? Like, that's what... Oh, yeah, the aliens, the German aliens, they try to make a copy of Master Shake, and they, they end up with this kind of, actually, I mean, I can probably find a picture of him. Yeah, here's this guy. This is the, let's see, that I'll post it in the chat here. Yeah, that's him. But anyways, that's pretty much what most of K-Cat's ideas come out like. Like, he has interesting ideas, but he doesn't think them through all the way. And I have a hard time understanding what the deal with Zebra Town was supposed to be. Because it's like, he said that basically these ponies... As I understand it with Zebra Town, the whole thing is like a... kind of like the Warsaw Ghetto in Nazi occupied Poland, like before they started shipping people to the recreational fun centers, they just had like contained areas where they had to live, and like only Jews could live there and they couldn't live anywhere else. And that's my understanding of what the Zebra Town was supposed to be allegorical to or whatever. So the other part, the part with the ponies living there, is I understood that to be like most of them are just kind of SJW type ponies who want to go and deliberately live into the zebras only in the zebras only town just to, you know, signal how progressive or whatever the fuck they are. So my understanding is that is why they were living there. So it makes absolutely no sense that, like, out of nowhere, they all start becoming horrendously anti-zebra and, like, driving around throwing things at them and so forth.
It's, I mean,
like,
that is kind of how SJWs are, so it's not that surprising.
Yeah, I suppose so. But, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, why not just
move back to Canterlot?
Yeah, I mean, you're not
there.
Yeah, you're deliberately living in this area to make a statement. So it's like, why not just pack up and leave if it's getting too dicey there or whatever, you know? Just quietly leave, and then you can save face and still brag to your friends on Pony Twitter that you lived in the Zebra Ghetto for a while, you know?
Guess his whole idea is how racism comes about, even whenever they try to stop it. It's not a terrible concept.
Yeah, that's cults. Who needs logic when action for care? Yeah, that's the other thing too. Is like the action in this is not even well done.
That's the worst part. That's what pisses me off most.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like, this story doesn't even, about the one redeeming virtue of something like this is that you can usually milk some interesting fight scenes and whatever out of it, and this one just, he even manages to just completely fuck that up, you know? Like, he just drops the reader into the absolute middle of a fight. You don't have any idea what the hell's going on. Nothing is described well. It's impossible to follow what the fuck is going on, where the fuck anybody is, and it's yeah. And then he'll just like end it on a cliffhanger, and then he never resolves the cliffhanger. It'll just start like fucking 6 hours in the future, and it's like, oh yeah, we won. Or it's like if he actually shows the victory, and it's like it's just little Pip doing some idiotic, preposterous thing with her stupid levitation powers or whatever the fuck. What is this?
Telekinesis?
Say that again?
When she uses the telekinesis to, like, shoot a storm of glass or something.
Yeah, there's a storm of glass. There was she levitated a boxcar on somebody. It's always some ridiculous thing.
Or another one of my favorites is whenever he introduces the rape centaurs or whatever. He has pretty good description for it. And then Little Pip just shoots them twice with a 28 or 38 special, and they die.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is it's like the levels and the different weapons and all this, it's just completely pointless because he seems to just be making up the rules for these as he goes along. Let me see, what is this? My favorite author is Law Abiding Pony. What is Law Abiding Pony? Yes, see. Law Abiding Pony. Just a hobbyist writer with aspirations of making a career in it. What is good by Law Abiding Pony to Wake? Hi, Wake. Sorry.
Why would we want good fanfics though?
I'm just curious if anything good has actually been written. I mean, so
I will
far,
tell
every...
you. I'll tell you what my absolute number one is. My top fanfic of all time. And that is Equestria Total War. Because that one...
War.
So I think my hypothesis as to why fanfics are so terrible is that the people who write them are high school students who don't have even a college-level education.
That's kind of my suspicion, too.
Like, I think a lot of these people, even if it were literally the same author, if you just come back to them 4 or 5 years later, they would be a hell of a lot better. Well, at least, you know, if they went and did something like a liberal arts study.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what I, you know, like, I don't necessarily, you know, presume to be, like, an expert on this. I'm kind of a passable writer. Like, I'm above the level of these guys, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say I'm, like, I'm particularly great at it. But I think that, you know, part of the reason I like doing these criticisms is I think it is kind of helpful to see, you know, where amateur writers go wrong. Because I think I think part of the problem is that, you know, like you were saying, these are all just kind of high school kids, and I think it gets to be kind of a feedback loop too. Like you write this horrendous thing on, you know, FinFiction and you post it, and all these other people that are just kind of high school kids or whatever, they all read it and they say, oh, this is great, and they're cheering you on, and it's like, so you don't improve because you think you don't have to, because you have been told by a bunch of people on the internet that you're great at this, and nobody ever tells you that it sucks or why. So, in college, well, that's the other thing too, is it's like, college is, I mean, I don't even know what you would get if you went to a college like in the current year and studied creative writing or something. I mean, who even knows what you would actually learn? Like, they don't even teach most of the classics anymore. So,
well, speak for yourself. I went to a great Catholic college, so.
Okay. Well,
Catholic, but still, it was pretty good.
Yeah, no, the religious ones are probably among the better ones. Like, I haven't taken like an English lit course in like a long ass time. Oh. But I keep hearing things.
Well, just in general, being older probably helps.
Yeah. No, it definitely does. And I mean, it's, you know, I try to strike a balance. I mean, a lot of the fun of the entertainment value of the thread is shitting on how bad these stories are, but I do actually kind of try to mentally cut the author a little bit of slack, because I am assuming most of these guys are just like, you know, high school kids or whatever. They've never written anything. And, I mean, I went back and, I mean, some of the stuff I wrote when I was like late teens, early 20s was just like you know, really, really cringe tier stuff. So,
at the same time,
fault anyone.
At the same time, though, he's profited off of this story.
That's the other thing, too, is, I mean, for somebody like this, I mean, this has been printed up. He's sold copies of this. This is like, and I mean, people in the fandom, like, you talk to people and they'll, you know, you ask them, like, what's a good fan fiction, and they'll gush over Fallout Equestria and talk about it like it's this great thing that deserves to be taken seriously as a professionally written work of literature. And it's just No, it is not.
You cannot cross over the Fallout franchise and My Little Pony without this story, without what you're trying to do being subsumed into this story.
Yeah, that kind of is the that's kind of a problem I have with it too. Is it seems like he's kind of cornered the market on it, and anybody who wants to do this kind of thing has to go through his universe in order to do it. And I mean, it's definitely not an earned status. Like, I think it's kind of what some people in the thread were saying, that it's he was just like the first person to come up with this idea, and he's the first person to do it, so he's just automatically the guru of the Fallout crossovers. And I would actually like to see somebody do somebody with some actual talent do like a reboot of the same idea and just completely ignore KCAT's universe and just do their own thing with it.
Yeah, I've seen, that's actually something I want to mention is that some years ago, I don't remember how long ago, but I went on some wiki and decided to basically look up all of the Fallout Equestria lore that relates to the war period, or before the technical main setting of the period. And the only thing I knew whatsoever about the actual plot of the fic was, well, I knew two things. I decided to start reading a little bit, and I randomly clicked on a page that's the scene where Twilight goes, not Twilight, actually it probably was the flashback sequence. It's in Mariponi, or whatever the hell it's called, with the flashback to the creation of the goddess.
Okay,
well, maybe it could have been the modern times, but the point is, I saw Trixie as the goddess with the alicorns, and I realized as I was reading that I had no idea that alicorns / a reference to the mutants of Fallout 1 was even a part of the story. And so I see thousands upon thousands of images on, well, of course, PonerPix now, but DerpyBuru and wherever, of Little Pip and various Fallout Equestria things. And sometimes I'll even see Velvet Remedy, and I do see Blackjack a lot. Like, a whole hell of a lot, to the extent that I had to be told by a Fallout Equestria expert, Fiora the Tank Girl. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her.
I've heard the name, actually. That's, what is the name of that? Or, I mean, what is that? Is that the name of an author?
A member of the Pony fandom who's very big into the Fallout Equestria side. But, like, okay. I literally had to be told that Blackjack is not in Fallout Equestria, because I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm thinking the name Fiora the Tank Girl. I think I actually, the last pony convention I went to in 2019 it would have been, because last year was COVID. I'm pretty sure I went to a panel and Fiora the Tank Girl was one of the presenters for Fallout Equestria. I think that's actually where my impression of KCAT being a tranny comes from, because if Fiora the Tank Girl was the person giving the presentation, then Fiora the Tank Girl is a tranny. Because the,
yes.
the, pres- yeah, the, the presentation, I think I may have gotten it mixed up and thought that was KCAT, but honestly, it would not even remotely surprise me if KCAT was actually was a tranny.
But. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised now either. But yeah, I literally had to be told by her in person. Whenever I was like, I was trying to buy like a mug or something. It was at the vendor hall. Mm-hmm. At, like, Harmony Con or something back in 2019, and she literally explained that to me, and I'm like, okay, then. And I didn't even know that, I don't think I had ever seen Steel Hooves or Zenith before, or if I'd seen them once, I would have thought that it was, like, an OC or someone from one of the 7 Quadrillion Auxiliary Works. I didn't even know that they were members of the party, and I think I'd seen Velvet Remedy, like, once or twice. But again, like, I didn't know who the hell they were. Okay, I'd seen Velvet Remedy twice in images.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I had a similar, sorry, I'm reading the commentary in the thread as well. Looks like last pony convention held was HarmonyCon, so, yeah, it was Everfree Northwest is the one that I went to, but that was also in 2019. What the hell were we talking about? Just the prevalence of
well, it yeah, shows it, you just exactly how much the rest of the party that Little Pip is a part of really matter if Little Pip has like 99.6% of all of the
Yeah, it's like that character just kind of dominates the whole thing, and it's that way in the story too. I mean, these other. And I mean, it's one thing if you want to write a one character story. That's, you know, I mean, you could do something with just like a ridiculously overpowered single character. But if you're gonna do that, you might as well just make that the only character in the story. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to have an entire party of. An entire party if you're just going to have the one character do everything.
They're there to praise her.
Yeah, and I think particularly in a story in the MLP universe where it's supposed to be the focus is on friendship and all that kind of stuff, that especially if you're gonna kind of preach that in the story, and then you just, the entire group dynamic is just all these incidental side characters who do nothing, telling the author's OC how great she is all the time. That just kind of defeats the whole point. Oh, also, we've kind of been dominating the conversation, but it looks like there was a question about the game. So Styx can answer that, since he's the one playing.
Oh, yeah.
Caves of Quad.
So basically, it's just a 2D sprite-based roguelike exploration game.
I'm actually going to grab something to drink. I'll be right back.
The fight, you just walk into enemies. Yeah, all I did was replace the model. So there's just a little file that's like, what was it, 16 or so pixels, and you just replace that, and I just made it a pony.
Back.
Trying to convince my friend to loan me $350 so I can go back and buy a Mauser. Which is kind of just my fault for spending so much money today anyways, but still.
Right.
So do you think you're going to cover Rainbow Factory, or is that Rainbow Dash Presents good enough?
I could take a look at Rainbow Factory.
I hate it.
Well, that would probably make it a good. A good candidate if it's bad. But yeah, I mean, honestly, there's. I actually still have to go through the thread and compile all the suggestions that have been made. I know Nigel wanted me to take a look at Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which I actually think would be kind of fun to do since it's professionally published. But I'm gonna actually see if I can maybe shorten the speed of the process for some of these, so it doesn't take like. I mean, we've been on Fallout Equestria for I think the better part of a year now.
Well, so. I mean, there's a reason for that. It's because it's so damn long.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the other ones really took this long.
I'd prefer... Well, they're not even remotely close to as long. I'd prefer that any reviews not be done in lieu of pony reviews, personally. I'd still prefer a pony-centric model. Not that... It wouldn't be worth reviewing the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of leaning more towards focusing on pony fan fictions and all that kind of stuff. I feel like it might be kind of pole related, since you know you could probably there's probably some tangents on whatever
Harry Potter.
Yeah, oh, J.K. Rowling probably, you know, with her politics and everything, I'm sure it is.
Like, the whole conflict in Harry Potter is about racism, and it's basically a metaphor for nativism in Britain. And hell, even the events in the past that they reference, like, are unsubtly references to Nazism or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward leftist politics, and that's the reason why Harry Potter is probably by far and away the most popular of the series. Well, not the most popular, along with Star Wars. It's one of the only two bits of culture that people on the left have consumed. I guess right. Also you can add The Handmaid's Tale, but like aside from those three things... and you know they haven't read the book of The Handmaid's Tale. It's the only book series they've actually read.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that too. That seems to be, like, particularly that whole generation that would have been in the target demographic when those books were being released, they don't seem to have a whole lot of literacy beyond that series. So... I do think it would be interesting to review it for that reason. I've actually never read any of the Harry Potter books. I saw the first three movies, I think, when they came out, and then I pretty much was bored with it by the third one, so I didn't bother. I think I got dragged to, like, number seven by a girlfriend at one point, but, you know, I was not paying attention, so...
I actually didn't complete number seven.
Yeah.
It's the only one. I think Harry Potter... How do I say this? There's fertile ground for criticisms and, you know, for what you're looking for in your review, but I think it could probably all be covered in, you know, like 10 to a dozen of those giant posts.
That's kind of what I'm thinking of doing for it, since it's not super related, just kind of covering it sort of broad tier. Like, I'm thinking it's probably not going to be necessary to go through it paragraph by paragraph like I've been doing, just because it's, you know, whatever failings J.K. Rowling might have as a writer, I mean, she's been, this text went through multiple editors and, you know,
publishers. It's absolutely better than Fallout Equestria.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but, you know, that's not a high bar to pass. But I've actually thought it might be fun to do some reviews of some of this, some of the newer, this kind of race-conscious, woke, whatever, new literature.
Oh, God, that stuff. Are you telling me you're going to be one of the three people to actually buy a Marvel comic book this year?
No, I'm not. I don't want to mess around with comic books. I've seen the screenshots of recent Spider-Man and whatever, and that's enough for me. But no, I was thinking of one of the ones that gets referenced, or that I've heard referenced a lot, is The Hate U Give by, I forget the name of the author, but I mean, it's just kind of one of those Black Lives Matter, whatever kind of books, and I thought it might be kind of fun to take a look and pull that apart and look at it from an actual literary perspective. Yeah, I'm kind of curious what all this stuff really is, because I think this is probably, this stuff is probably written by a lot of the people who grew up reading absolutely nothing but Harry Potter and left this Twitter posts, so it'll be kind of curious to see what it's actually like.
I've kind of thought about doing some reviews on things, since I consume a large amount of literary criticism. Admittedly, mm-hmm. mostly it's just like YouTube videos on various forms of media, television shows, movies, etc., etc. I also watch mm-hmm. not every film that comes out, but I'm in an actual movie theater at least once a week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Often more, like last week, I want to say, how many times did I go to the movies last week? I don't know, at least three times over the last 2 weeks. At least.
Well, you are a trooper. I think I think the last good movie I saw was Joker, back when that came out. That
I didn't say they were good.
Yeah, well, I mean, then some coworkers and I went to go see the second chapter of It, and that was not good. And, I think before those two movies, the last movie I actually paid to go see in a theater was the MLP movie, and that was like 2017.
Patrician choice.
Indeed it was.
Joker was amazing on the first watch, and then kind of okay on the second.
Yeah, I've actually thought about doing some kind of a write up on that one, because there's some things I've noticed about that. I think overall I still think it was good, but I do have some little nitpicky things about it. Ford versus Ferrari, what is that one?
Ford vs. Ferrari is the tale of a man it's a tale of a stunt driver or professional race car driver and another man who's hired by Ford to basically win the Le Mans racing competition in like 1975 or whatever.
Well, that definitely sounds interesting.
It starts off literally with Ford attempting to buy Ferrari, and then the head of Ferrari basically telling the head of Ford, like, you are not your grandfather. Of course, it's the grandson of Henry Ford, and that just pissed them off. And he's like, you know what, we're going to go win this race against Ferrari by next year. And that sets off the story.
That actually does sound pretty good. When did that, is that a current movie, or is that...
That was like 20, I want to say 2019 fall.
Yeah, okay, we could probably, if that's, it's probably available, we could probably do that for a movie night at some point. Actually.
Oh, I know exactly what I want to recommend for movie night. I got two movies that I'd love to recommend.
Oh, yeah.
Both comedy, The Death of Stalin, which is just absolutely amazing. I want to say that's 2017. And then another one is The Hunt, which is one of my favorite movies of 2020.
Okay.
It was probably made in 2019 and then got released in 2020. And then, of course, it was released during the COVID pandemic, so.
Right.
It's still an amazing movie. The former is like a historical drama, but kind of a parody of historic dramas. And then the latter is, I consider it a comedy. It's styled as a horror film or thriller film, and it's kind of a parody of it. It's basically The Most Dangerous Game combined with modern-day political bullshit. Well, I say political bullshit. The modern-day political climate. And so it was overly controversial at the time that it was made. I think Donald Trump tweeted about it or something, and it got delayed.
That isn't the one where they were, I thought I remember hearing something about a movie they were making where they it was like people hunting people in Donald Trump hats or something. It was
that
like
is a, exactly
like
it.
Thing.
That
they
is
actually
it.
Made that. They actually made that. I thought I'd heard
that is just that's been, The yeah. Hunt. That's The Hunt, and it
wow.
is my favorite film of, or well, it's at least in my top three for 2020, if not my absolute favorite of 2020.
All right. Well, I can certainly look for it. I honestly had heard that there was just too much backlash against that one and they didn't make it. Did they?
No, they made it. They didn't release it. And then they're like, yeah, we're losing too much money. Let's release it anyways.
Oh, incidentally, whoever was asking about The Last Unicorn, we watched it on Friday, November 6th, 2020. So... Yeah, sorry. We can probably show it again sometime. It's a fun movie. I actually enjoyed watching it. I've got a backlog of cartoons from the 80s and 90s that I still want to show.
What do we have on that list?
I've got All Dogs Go to Heaven. I haven't seen that one since I think I was actually six. I actually want to show the. Actually, would like to show the Brave Little Toaster at some point. But that.
Holy
that
shit! I just watched that this week.
Really?
That yeah, it's someone posted it for free on YouTube, and it would play on SciTube. Like, it's one of the few free movies that you can actually get to play on SciTube. I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna watch this. So I played it on SciTube with, I guess, Styx.
Oh, nice, okay.
Like, over, like, literally just less than a week ago.
That's crazy, yeah. No, I honestly, that was, like, my favorite movie when I was in, like, third, fourth grade. But I have not watched it in a number of years. It's kind of one of those ones I'm worried I might not be able to actually sit through it just because it might be a little too feels-inducing. But I actually would like to show that for movie night at some point.
The flower
actually, some scene. Of the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
The flower scene traumatized me whenever I was a kid.
Yeah, no, I remember that too. That being pretty sad.
Yeah, and
the junkyard scene at the end too.
The junkyard's just amazing. I had the song on my iPod for a period of several years.
Yeah, I remember I wanted to I kept bugging my parents to try and find the soundtrack to that movie. I don't think they ever released it. That was back in the days when you had to actually buy music on physical media.
You can get it now.
I'm gonna have to look that up actually. That's probably
yeah. There's two different versions. Well, okay, I guess there's how it appears in the film, which has all those interruptions with TV talking. Mm-hmm. Then you can just condense down the film version, and then the version that was actually released by Disney changed a line because the line in the original film is basically, it's a sexual innuendo. It's like there were bikinis, there were buns, there were weenies, Fellini just couldn't forget. And they changed it to hot dog weenies in the Disney version, and you can tell it's a re-recording because it has this kind of echoey quality to it that's different.
That's cool. I'm gonna have to try and track that down. But anyways, yeah, I've also got a bunch of classic Disney movies too that would be fun to watch again. I got Lady and the Tramp, and I got Dumbo with the racist crows and everything, and I think the Lion King would be a fun one to watch sometime just because I haven't seen it in a while. And yeah, I pretty much got all the good ones.
Lion King's definitely
a good one. Lion King is another of my favorite movies. It's actually surprisingly red-pilled on some subjects, too. So.
The hyenas?
Yeah, the hyenas.
Did you? Got like, happened? The what?
Oh, I was just going to say that kind of the incompetent whatever leader just kind of uses the hyenas to take over, and then he can't feed anything, so they all fucking tear him to shreds. It's like, sooner or later, that's going to be Nancy Pelosi and a fucking herd of Black Lives Matter demonstrators.
I remember some years ago, I watched the Lindsay Ellis or something review of The Lion King, and she took a moment to stop and talk about like how kind of racist the Lion King or the hyenas within The Lion King were. It's like, well, no one's actually going to use this in order to justify segregation, are they? And then she cuts to this wonderful scene of an Israeli woman using The Lion King literally to justify like settlements and building a wall on the Palestinian territory to keep the Palestinians out. Like, that's great.
Nice. Yeah, that would definitely, that's definitely going to be a good one to, a good one. Actually, I think I remember reading some article at one point. Somebody was complaining about how that movie was racist or fascist or whatever, because it showed all the different animals bowing down to the lion and showing submission and all this shit. It's good movie, and it's a good movie, and it's got some pretty amusing metaphors in it. So
really does. Damn, I'm trying to think of what else I would play. Well, my two are just those two that I mentioned. The two comedy films.
Oh, that guy, you can, if you right-click on the Groovy, you can set the volume. It's just user volume. It's a slider. So you can adjust it.
I see Over the Hedge being mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
I shit you not, one of my classes in college was on the progressive movement, and one of the assignments that we could do was write a paper over progressive themes in children's films, and I did Over the Hedge.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever actually seen that movie. Which movie was Over the Hedge?
It was a CGI film with a bunch of squirrels who go into suburbia and try and steal food from suburbia.
That's right.
Basically, a bunch of woodland creatures awake from hibernation to find out that like some suburban property has been built around their territory, and most of the movie revolves around them like trying to steal food from humans. But it's put in motion by this one raccoon who is the leader of the group, and he's not actually trying to gather food for the group, but he's actually trying to gather food to pay back a bear that he's in debt to. So it's a sort of conflict of interest there.
Okay, yeah, I think I remember seeing this trailer for it or something. I think I was going to watch that at some point. I never did. So yeah, we can I can actually add that to the list. That will be a good one.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good, at least what it promised to be.
2006 at work. Also has a game spin-off of movie game quality. fuck. Okay, looks like Inter is starting their Psytube in about 45 minutes. We're probably going to wrap this up probably by then, so just so we're not overlapping too much. So, yeah, we're actually, this was actually kind of an impromptu sort of thing. We didn't really have any particular agenda. We've mostly just been sitting here watching Styx play games and kind of bullshitting about movies and fan fiction and stuff, but we're going to actually try and start doing these a little more regularly again. We'll try and get a little more of a constructed format and whatnot. But yeah, this one is kind of we're just kind of doing an open QA. So yeah, if any like I said, we've just kind of been bullshitting, but I mean, anything about the sites or anything that you want to bring up, we kind of put this together as kind of a response to all the stuff that's been going on QA recently. Ren, dude, you keep missing all of our good movies.
Titan A.E. Yeah. I actually saw that one. I've missed the vast majority of movie times, but I saw Titan A.E.
Titan A.E. is the best. I actually wouldn't mind showing that one again, too. But
that's the last Don Bluth film, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Why don't we need to reevaluate Don Bluth or go back through.
Yeah. Sorry, it sounds like that guy was trying to talk.
Oh, yeah. When is the new code supposed to come out? New site code? I keep hearing about a new code being prepared. Is there the time you know that might be finished? No, it's rushed, but...
The new site code has been in place since March 2020. Or maybe it was 2019, I don't recall.
That's actually Pupper. Probably Pupper is probably the best one to answer that.
Okay, maybe I'm mistaken.
We've had the new code, or we've been off of TinyChan and on ASPChan for well over a year, at least since March 20. I know it was March, I just don't remember what year. I think it was 2020. It was probably 2020. But there are updates he's been doing. He's released a few updates over the past couple weeks, so maybe that's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, I think that was it. Maybe I was confused. I was under the impression that it was some sort of big update, so maybe I was just confused.
The huge swap happened in March of 2020.
I noticed things did start to seem a bit different around that time. Well, maybe I didn't notice because that was when stupid COVID was starting.
I think I remember the switch happening right around the time all that was starting up, so... Yes, that was the whole thing. COVID was to distract the public from the ML poll code switching. So
we are the ones who released it from the Wuhan lab. Trying to think of what other great movies we could show. I'm still going to hammer on those two, though. Just because those are like my two favorite movies I saw, or at least comedy movies last year.
Yeah, I can add those to the actually V for Vendetta would be it might be fun to do a pair of a double feature of V for Vendetta and The Matrix, just because it's those are just kind of the two most memed movies on 4chan.
I actually really like Matrix.
Matrix is good,
and then Look Who's Back.
Look Who's Back, yeah.
Did we see that? Was that not played on the... I've never played it.
It might have been... It's possible whoever...
A non
the
did.
Night before
a non-27 did.
A non-27
I know
did. Did?
Yeah,
oh,
back in February
2018.
February 2017, or 2018, I remember.
Yeah, 2017, 2018 might be worth it. I think everyone's seen it then.
I just saw it again recently. Thought it was funny as hell.
Yeah, it's a good movie. What's nice is that even though it's clearly not a pro-Hitler movie, it's a good job because I just tried to portray him accurately.
Yeah.
Nah, I think it's clearly a woke movie. It's just funny as hell.
They just tried to portray him accurately, and they like it's like near the end of it, you notice that the story, the theme, the call to action of the movie is the idea that people like Hitler would just seem like normal people, which I guess is really a pro censorship movie, but at the same time, it's good for anyone who likes Hitler because people who like Hitler just want to see him portrayed accurately.
Yeah, because it's not a movie about Hitler. It's a movie about Germany and the people in Germany and how they would react, etc. Well, how they feel, really.
The thing could be fun. Oh, absolutely. We do take anime movie recommendations.
We see The Thing?
No, the... It's again. That might have been before I started. Before I started doing it, but
it was played during the Halloween festival or whatever that Anon 27 did back in 2017.
Yeah,
but I'm certain of
that. Back then,
that might have been it. Oh, The Boy and the Beast. I actually have not seen that yet, but yeah, that's been on my list for a while. So yeah, that's definitely one we could do.
Like, I think we did Castle in the Sky, Howl's Moving Castle, or.
Oh, we did Princess Mononoke. That was the Miyazaki one that we did. But I think that actually I've been meaning to show more of the classics there. I'd like to do Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind at some point too.
Princess
Mononoke
is
a good one. Is
another one that Anon 27 had shown. Just gonna say for the record that you are kind of doing some repeats here.
Yeah, I imagine I probably am. I mean. Honestly, some of these I'm just kind of showing because I kind of feel like watching them. I try to pick ones we haven't seen, but you know, people were doing movie nights before I took over. So
yeah. Can't. And it's been so good.
Summer Wars is a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one. That's that Summer Wars is that I forget the guy's name, but he's kind of seen as like a successor to Miyazaki. What the hell is that guy's name? My friend would know. He's a big fan of that guy. But yeah, he did Summer Wars. He did The Place Promised in Our Early Days. A few others. Your lawn digger. I haven't heard of that one, but that looks like something we could watch. Actually, Kimba the White Lion might be a fun one.
Did you see Did you see the Your Movie Sucks review of the Kim of the White Lion, Lion King conspiracy?
No, I haven't.
It's, okay, please just, on your own time, whenever you have an hour to go listen to videos, listen to that.
All right, yeah, I'll check that out.
The way he portrays Kim of the White Lion is utterly amazing. Like, it literally has lines in it like, they hate me because I'm white, and if the elephants had just been nicer, they wouldn't have had to have been exterminated, and other weird shit like that.
Oh, speaking of rip-off ponies, has anybody else seen that that paranoid margarita guy on YouTube who did those couple of videos?
Yes.
With Athena? I really like that guy. I think that guy's a hoot. Yeah, Sean Keller, I think is the guy's name. I like his art style, and I like his character. I think MLP was. I haven't really. Yeah, her Athena. Yeah. I think I remember. I haven't really been paying attention to the MLP con stuff that they're doing or that they've been doing. I think it's probably over by now. But I think they said they were going to have like a Q&A with him, and they're trying to convince him to collaborate on some kind of an original series. So that could potentially be something interesting for the future. See you later, that guy. All right. Well, I think we've got about 20 minutes until Inter starts their SciTube thing.
Yeah, my friend's coming over for a crawfish boil. I hope he gives me the money because I want to go back and buy that Mauser. But
right.
Personal things, yeah.
Right.
I already spent over $2,000 a day. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
We actually, I think Tremors we did, that was, I think, one of the, either the first or second night that I did movie night, we did Tremors.
I missed that one, and I wouldn't terribly mind if that were replayed.
We could probably replay that. I think that's one that everybody consistently likes enough that nobody would mind watching that over and over.
I'm still gonna, I'm gonna stick by my top two suggestions, though.
Yeah, no, I'll see if I can track those down. And
Death of Stalin and The Hunt.
And The Hunt. All right, yeah, we can certainly stick those in there somewhere. Anyway, in the last 20 minutes, does anybody have anything directly about the site that we... Because I think that was technically what we were discussing here. If anybody has anything they wanted to ask. Otherwise, we can just sit and bolt.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
When's the snow cone machine going to be up and running?
The snow cone machine? Probably about 2 weeks.
If you're talking about the ice cream machine, that's just broken, and...
I have, like, a video on that.
Yes, there was this wonderful video on the ice cream machine conspiracy.
Yes.
Also, that Your Movie Sucks and Kim of the White Lion is 2.5 hours long, so it was longer than I thought. But
Wow.
it's pretty awesome. And, yeah, definitely play that while you're driving or something.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I will check that out. Actually, I've got to stay up all night tonight, so I might throw that on in the wee hours.
Well, it has visuals, so it's really better to watch it, but at the same time, like, it's 2.5 hours, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I'll kind of tend to drift in and out of YouTube videos, honestly, so.
Like, I've been listening to this great podcast series, Revolutions Podcast, and I've gone through probably over 100 hours of that podcast over the past few weeks, over the past month.
Okay.
Got really in-depth analysis and just just a really in-depth history of the English Civil War, of the lead-up to and the French Revolution, of the American Revolution, of the Haitian Revolution. He has one on the Haitian Revolution that's like 18 hours long. And wow. Just holy shit, I never knew these things were so complicated. Like, you hear about one event, but in reality, most of these are something like three or so separate little civil wars.
Oh, history is, yeah, I mean, history, pretty much any subject you can read, like, a survey of it and pick any detail you like, and it's like a whole other subject, you mm-hmm. know? And, like, that detail, it's like there's everything else is made up of, I mean, it's real interesting to read about just about any event you could possibly imagine, but, I mean, it's difficult to absorb all of it. Oh, the MLP, yeah, MLP in Japanese I actually really like. All the songs in Japanese are really cute. The Pinkie Pie Smile song in Japanese has been one of my favorite, one of my regular listens for a long time.
So when's the next update on Fallout Equestria?
Probably tomorrow night sometime. I usually end up posting them about like one in the morning, so probably about one in the morning tomorrow night. I might do one. I might do one tonight too. Actually,
yeah. I try to read those whenever before I go into work or whenever I'm waiting on something to happen.
Right.
It's great to wake up and like, oh, there's another three of them here. And so I like get coffee, read one of them, then I go in and then I leave. And then I'm like, okay, nothing's happening. Let me get back on my phone. Start reading about steel hooves being a non-presence and everything again.
Yeah, I try to, when on the nights when I do them, I try to do about three posts in the space of a night. It's kind of one of those things I there's nights where I work on it and nights where I don't, just because it really is kind of a time-consuming process, reading and writing them, and it's just like after a while it'll get to the point where I'm just walking around and all I'm thinking about is Fallout Equestria and my fucking blood pressure is probably physically up. I do need to take periodic breaks from it, but...
Oh, that's pretty awesome. What do you think of doing film reviews?
Film reviews could be fun. I actually have some films that would be that I wouldn't mind doing a write up on. Like I said, I was thinking of doing Joker at one point, and I've got some old favorites of mine that would be fun.
Like what?
Actually, there's this obscure Jim Jarmusch movie that I've always liked for whatever reason. It's Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai. It's actually really interesting to watch that movie after having read a whole bunch of Julius Evola and René Guénon, because it's got this weird kind of it's this kind of movie that just like most people watch it and they're just like, huh. But it's like I think there's kind of an unconscious traditionalist vibe there that I think is that might be worth poking around in a little bit. So.
Okay, little thing about Julius Evola, I've found The Quest for the Grail and Metaphysics of War in full online, but I've noticed that much of the other later works in the Evola reader are just not available in full, or you have to skip.
Oh, they're not available in
YouTube,
format?
I mean.
Oh, in full YouTube?
Audiobooks on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, he's kind of obscure in English. It's honestly only been, like, within, I think, the last 10 years or so that he's kind of picked up an audience over here. But, so unfortunately, audiobooks are kind of hard to come by. I actually have his... they're being reprinted at present, so I actually have all of his in print, and I've been slowly reading my way through them. He's really good, but you really have to want to read him because, I mean, he's very dense. Very dense paragraphs, and it's like reading one page of him is about the same as reading like 10 pages of anyone else. But yeah,
well, I was a philosophy major in college, so I'm familiar.
Okay, yeah, then you probably are familiar with reading that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you can get his books, they're definitely a good read. I've actually been following in the ML Poll Lit thread. There's a Julius Evola guide that's the OP image. I've been actually reading them in that order. Alrighty. Did anybody have any other topics that they wanted to bring up? We got about 10 minutes to the inter-SciTube.
I just continue talking about movies or guns or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that kind of seems to have been what the what we wound up talking about. But yeah, I think for future tea times, we can probably start doing this fairly regularly, and we can probably try and have a more structured format next time around, see if we can kind of do what we were doing before with Atlas, where you would, you know, prepare a little talk on a particular topic and then just do an open session afterwards.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll have more guns by then.
Right.
I still need a Craig Jorgensen, among other things. Lee Navy, just a whole list of things. But
yeah. Well,
then I'd have to actually go buy them and have the money to buy them, which isn't very helpful whenever you're broke again. So.
Right.
So what's this week's movie night? Well, this coming week, next Friday.
I actually usually don't decide on the movies up until, like, usually the day they're shown. I guess we'll just have to see what's in the mood. I might look into those two that you recommended. I might see if maybe show one of those, one or both. We'll see. And I got some other ones on the list here that would be worth looking into. And then I got, like I said, I've got quite a few in my collection. I'm actually kind of curious. I've got quite a few silent movies too. I'm not sure how well those would go over for an internet audience, but I wouldn't mind doing a few of those too.
Probably a little bit harder because I'm assuming a whole lot of people, what they do is that they just have the audio playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I mean, is I think a lot of people sort of drift back and forth between tabs. But actually, one thing I do have that's really interesting that I think would be fun to show is this silent movie. It's actually a German movie from like 1920 something, but it's the story of Siegfried and the dragon and all that stuff, and it's really interesting. It's really well done, like really good visuals for the time period and everything. So I think that one would be. I actually haven't watched it yet, but my dad gave me that one, so that might be kind of a fun one to see. Actually, Nosferatu is a good one too. Actually. Music stuff, I just noticed. Actually, up here.
pretty nice background music there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this song is just super comfy in Japanese.
What's your favorite Pony episode?
I personally, I think Winter Wrap Up honestly is still my favorite, but there's some other good ones. The I don't know the titles that well, but the one with Applejack parents was really excellently done.
Perfect Pair.
Perfect Pair, yeah, that was a good one. I actually kind of like the Cranky Doodle one. I think is kind of cute. I like that one a lot.
The two played last night are pretty high on my list, I think. At least of the two-parters.
We did the season.
Well,
are you talking about this?
Okay, I guess there were like four played last night. But
yeah,
I mean,
we did the season six closer.
To Wear and Back Again. To Wear and Back Again, the season six closer.
Season 6 closer, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the right episode. Yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one. Party of One is a, that's Party of One is the one with Pinkie Pie, where she thinks her friends ditched her, right? That's that's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, I actually find with Pony, the season opener and closers with the lore and everything are usually good, but I actually like the slice of life episodes probably the best. I think it kind of, the format works the best as kind of a slice of life show. Yeah, definitely. We got it.
One thing I want to mention about Fallout Equestria is that some months ago I saw this video. It's a response video to Fallout 3 is Better Than You Think, called Fallout 3 is Not Better Than You Think. It's like a 6-hour critique of Fallout 3, and I think my big takeaway is that a whole lot of things that are wrong with Fallout Equestria are actually things that were wrong in Fallout 3 that are just being copy-pasted from Fallout 3.
That seems to be what a lot of the consensus in the thread is, actually, because, I mean, it's... I can't really comment on that just because I've never actually played Fallout 3, but yeah, that seems to be a lot of... In fact, actually, a lot of the things I've given KCAT credit for, you know, this was a kind of an interesting idea. It always ends up being, oh, that's just... directly from Fallout, so...
Yeah, like, every single time, basically, if he does anything good, it's from Fallout 3, and perhaps some of the bad stuff is from it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I think he's... I don't want to shortchange him when it comes to giving him credit for his bad ideas, because I think he's definitely got some... he's definitely got his share of those, but... Anyway, we got about 2 minutes left, so it's probably not a good idea to go off on another tangent about Fallout Equestria. But, anyway, we got about 2 minutes till Inter starts its SciTube thing, so we're probably should wrap this up here.
Yeah, I gotta go out to the crawfish party anyways.
Oh yes, have a good time with the crawfish, certainly.
Woo!
A review of Pony Life might actually be fun. I've watched exactly 10 minutes of it so far, and I was that was about enough, but it might actually be funny to kind of shitpost that one at some point. Yeah, I got to something. The clip I saw was like the ponies were all trying to install apps on their cell phones, and that was really about all I needed to see. Uh-oh. Alrighty, well, I guess we'll go ahead and probably call it good there. And like I said, we're going to try and do these fairly regularly from now on. So keep an eye on the board. We'll post the time. So I'll try to post it a little more ahead of time next time so everybody's can make plans and whatnot. And on that note, I think we can probably go ahead and call this tea time. I guess for lack of a better words, we'll call it a success. And thank you all for coming. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
All right. Later.